Good afternoon, brethren. Aaron, can we raise this up a little bit? I don't want anyone to think that what I'm saying is not important. I feel like this is a message, it would be wrong to mumble it, to not say it clearly, right? Lest the trumpet give a certain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? We're talking about the end of the world. Amen. Jesus coming back. Amen. We need to shout it from the housetops. Need to proclaim it. Let's read from Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Before Him shall be gathered all the nations. And He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee? Or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? When or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed of my Father. Amen. Into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger and ye took me not in. Naked and ye clothed me not. And in prison and ye visited me not. And then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee. Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now, brethren, the sheep and goats is not a parable. This is going to happen.
Amen.
This is going to happen. Here's how it says it in Matthew chapter 24. Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This is going to happen.
Amen.
The Son of Man is coming in His glory. And at that moment, everything will stop.
Amen.
Everything stops. All creation stops. The natural creation will be falling apart. The very fabric of the material universe will be unraveling. All of our plans will stop. If you had plans for school, it stopped. If you had plans for marriage, it stops. If you had plans for building this or going somewhere or doing something, it all stops. None of it matters anymore. It's all ended. All that you're working for stops. All that you're building stops. All that you're giving your time to stops. Your work stops. Your marriage stops. They'll neither be married nor given in marriage.
Amen.
This is the revelation of the Son's glory. This is going to happen. And don't you know that there are people that are going to be surprised when it happens? Surprised? We don't have to be surprised. It says it right here. We're talking about it tonight. Brother Pat, the door's unlocked, right? Anybody can come and hear.
Amen.
This is no secret. Jesus is going to come back. Everything's going to stop. And everyone will be gathered before Him. He's sitting upon His throne. Who may abide the day of His coming? Or who shall stand when He appeareth? And it says He's coming with all the holy angels with Him. You know, in Hebrews chapter 12, it says there's an innumerable company of angels. Now you have this in your mind? I can't picture it, but innumerable company of angels, they're descending upon this world. Everything stops and everyone will be gathered before Christ Jesus. Amen. This is judgment day. In the judgment day, the righteous and the wicked are judged together at the same time. And they're separated. There is a separation that takes place when Jesus Christ comes back again. God has been teaching mankind from the beginning about separation. We have to separate ourselves from the unclean. He taught Israel extensively about clean and unclean. Separation. You have to be separate from the unclean. Separate from the pollutions so that God can receive you. He had Israel separate from other nations. Remember, Lot had to be separated before the judgment came. Lot had to be brought out. In Ezekiel's day, there was a man with an inkhorn, and he went about through the city, and he set a mark on the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst of her. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Everyone who didn't have the mark was separated.
Amen.
And judged. God puts a separation between the righteous and the wicked.
Amen.
Between the clean and unclean, the holy and the unholy. Circumcision is a picture of separation from our flesh, fleshly lusts. Separation is required because our iniquities have separated between us and our God. And our sins have hid His face so that He will not hear. There is a separation from God in Adam that must be remedied.
Amen.
There is a basic enmity between man and God. In other words, we were all goats. We were all heading for the left side of Jesus. We were all condemned. The wrath of God abode on us. But the mercy of God was manifest. So when we see that in the end separation is coming, it makes us want to separate ourselves now, right? Makes us want to be separate. Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. He said, it's a good thing when they separate from you because you don't want to be with them when the judgment comes. It's a good thing. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Right now, we are to be separate.
Amen.
Now is our time of separating ourselves from evil before Jesus comes and makes the final separation.
Amen.
God spoke to Moses and said, Moses said this to the people. Get up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tent of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. Separate yourself, because the wrath of God is coming.
Amen.
And so, Jesus also says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. It's a blessed thing to be separated from the world now, to not fit in now. Because when Jesus comes back, at that point, the separation is going to be made.
Amen.
He's going to put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left.
Amen.
Now the cause of the separation, Jesus is indicating, was because of what they did. So is this judgment about their works? Was this judgment based on what they did? Well, I want you to notice that he indicated that they were sheep and they were goats. The separation was made based on who they were. That's what the separation was. They were either a sheep or they were a goat. And you might say, well, it's saying that he separated them as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. So he's just maybe using it as an example. Just like a shepherd would divide sheep from goats, that's how he's going to do it. But then, in the next verse, he says he shall put the sheep. He calls them the sheep again. So what we're seeing here is that Christ is coming back, and in the midst of all the nations of the earth gathered before him, there are sheep and there are goats. Notice that in the King James, he said, he shall separate his sheep from the goats. His sheep. Doesn't that sound familiar? And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus also said of the Gentiles, other sheep have I which are not of this fold. Them also must I bring in. Jesus has sheep. And Jesus indicated that the Gentiles were his sheep before they even came in. He had to bring them in. So ultimately, this separation was based on who they were. There are only two species in this account. Only two sides, the left and the right. Only two verdicts. Depart or welcome. Isn't that interesting? The extremes, the goodness and severity of God, some of the brethren have already talked about. You would think maybe there's someone who visited some sick people. But maybe they turned away a stranger here. Wouldn't you think that maybe there was some that did a little bit of that, but maybe not all of it? Wouldn't you think there would be this whole spectrum? If the judgment was based on their works, you would see this whole spectrum, but you don't see it. You see either hell or heaven. What this is saying is that you're either a sheep or you're a goat. It's saying that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and it is not according to works. So there's only two. This is consistent. When the Scripture talks about the judgment day, he talks about these extremes. There's either the righteous or the wicked.
Amen.
Talks about him that serveth God and him that serveth him not.
Amen.
There's the good seed and there are the tares.
Amen.
Very distinct and separate characterization. There's the good fish and the bad fish. Remember that one? Gathered them up together and separated them based on who they were. Were they a good fish or were they a bad fish? The godly and the unjust. Jesus talked about children of the kingdom and children of the wicked one. Children of light and children of this world. Children of light and children of disobedience. You get what I'm saying, brethren? Clear and distinct categories. There's children of the promise and children after the flesh. There's children of the free woman and children of the bond woman. There are children of God and children of the devil.
Amen.
Jesus said that you are of your father, the devil. There are those whose names are written in the book of life and those whose names are not written. In the previous chapter, in the previous part of this chapter, in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus talked about the virgins, the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 went into the marriage with the bridegroom, and the other 5 were left out, and it says the door was shut. And then he talked about the talents. He gave 3, 2, and 1 talents out. And the only 2 verdicts were, enter into the joy of the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And the other verdict was, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You can't get more extreme than this. All of this is to say that God saves us by faith in Jesus Christ and not according to our works. If it were based upon our works, then God would give some a little bit and some a little less, and maybe some would just end up just completely neutral, just maybe in limbo. But there's not this. There is a distinct difference of eternal wrath and judgment and torment, or there's the joy of the Lord. What this says is the ones who are His have been the ones who abide in the vine.
Amen.
They attach to Jesus Christ. And so right here we point, the judgment is based upon who is in Christ and who is not in Christ. The sheep belong to Him, and the goats do not.
Amen.
I say that because people can get hung up on looking at the specific things and saying, okay, I want to make it to heaven, so I'll go and make sure I feed the hungry. I'll make sure and visit those in prison. And please understand me, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do those things. But what I'm saying is, these things indicated that the people were sheep. This is what sheep do. They do this because of who they have become, because of who Christ has made them. Sheep do this, but goats do not. What we're looking at is fruit that comes from being in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And for these, the kingdom was prepared for them before they did anything. Before the foundation of the world. It was prepared for them. Elect, He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children unto by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. That's Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. Now notice here, in this account, the condemnation was based not on what they did, but on what they failed to do. So, okay, we're talking about the goat's judgment now. He said it was based not on what they did, but on what they failed to do. So, a lot of times people in this world think, well, I'll be okay when I'll be accepted by God because I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do that. Well, there wasn't any of this. They were judged because of what they failed to do. Hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, prison. People who are suffering. Caring about others' suffering is present in all who have been made righteous. It's there. You're created after God in righteousness and true holiness. God cares for people. He cares for those who are suffering. And if you are His, you will care also. In fact, if you have this world's good and you see your brother in need and do nothing for him, how can the love of God dwell in you? In other words, the love of God dwelling in you will cause you to care for your brother, to love people, and to reach out and help them. They cared about others and helped them because that's what sheep do. Praise God. He has made us righteous. He has made us holy. Now again, I don't want to take away from physically helping people. But I want you to see there's a spiritual component to this too. Because there are people all over this land in particular that are starving spiritually. They're hungry. Their souls are longing for God. They need some understanding and knowledge so they can draw near to God. And the false shepherds, the false prophets are not feeding the sheep. And Jesus is saying, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. Jesus says to them, He said to Peter three times, feed my sheep. Feed my flock. He put them in charge to give His servants their meat in due season. He put them in charge of feeding the flock. And instead of giving them the Word of God, they're giving them stories and psychology and garbage and politics and this world. They need the Word of God. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're starving. Sometimes I think of it like you see these pictures of starving children, their bellies all distended. They're just kind of deformed because they're not getting enough food. They don't understand much about God at all. But they're not being fed. And so, brethren, we need to give them food. We need to feed them. You see someone sick or in prison, help them because you're a sheep. Finally, there are two verdicts. He said, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So the inheritance was prepared for them, but hell was not prepared for the goats. He said, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. God's not willing that any should perish. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
Amen.
He calls to them, why will you die? Turn ye, turn ye. Why will you die? The wrath of God will be justly put forward and placed upon them. They will be judged. But God is not willing. He has not prepared hell for them. And yet they go, they choose hell over Jesus Christ. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life everlasting. There is some false doctrine that suggests that hell is just like annihilation. It's uncomfortable for people to think about eternal suffering. Never-ending suffering. And so that's uncomfortable, so people try and make some way that it doesn't mean that. Jesus said they shall go away into everlasting punishment. Now, if you want to try and make that word mean something different than everlasting, you have to realize that's the same word that says the righteous into life eternal. If we have eternal life, then there is eternal punishment. Brethren, I feel like I've been kind of heavy on this on the goat side, but I didn't mean to. I really want you to see how we are looking forward to the judgment. Let me remind you of that. We are looking forward to the judgment day. See, Peter said, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? In all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God." We're looking for it. Even though the heavens will be on fire and the elements will melt with fervent heat, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So we need to be diligent that we may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And he said, 1 John chapter 4, 17, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world.
Amen.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." So if you're not sure of the love of Christ, like if we talk about this day and you're thinking, "I don't know if I'm ready." If you don't know you're ready for this day, what else are you doing? This has to be settled now.
Amen.
This could come at any moment. And then everything stops and you will stand before the judge of all the earth. But praise God, when His love, when you know He loves you, that casts out all fear. And we can have boldness in the day of judgment. We will lift up our heads and say, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him. This is our God. We have waited for Him. And He will save us." And so for the sheep, though everything in this world will stop, the creation will stop, but for the sheep, there will be new heavens and a new earth. And it will be just this beginning. All that we have worked for, all that we have longed for, and all that we have laid up will be ours. It will be there. Not ended in futility, but laid up and there for us. Our work will then be rewarded. And our marriage will be about to begin. Suffering will stop. Crying will stop. Pain will stop. The old man will be no more. And we will be forever with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, brethren. Please add any of your comments or thoughts. you'd like to share? Sister Kay.
People that think because they're a good person, or, you know, they help poor, they donate to the needy, but they still don't know Jesus. And those people do not understand. They don't have a clue. You're not going. And I think that needs
right.
to be taught more than it is currently being taught. I'm glad you brought that up.
Amen. Brother Al.
I'd like to comment on this. You know, the people have stumbled at, like in the case of James, know you not that our father Abraham was justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac upon the altar? And know you not that Rahab the harlot was justified by works, you know? And,
right.
and you know, when after the Reformation, you know, Martin Luther at first rejected that because it didn't seem to harmonize with being justified by faith. Now, I'd like to pose the harmony for this, and how that it actually fits in with this text here that you're talking about. And you know, in Moses and the prophets, you remember how many times that God said through the Spirit, He said, "Who shall render unto every man according to his works?"
Yes.
And according to his ways. Now, Paul in Romans chapter 2. He brings this to a higher level, and he said, "Who shall render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing eternal life he's going to give them." So now here it's on the basis of what they did, but it was what they did by faith. And the same with, remember in John chapter 5, remember Jesus said, "And they shall come forth in the resurrection, they that have done good unto the
Amen.
Resurrection of life. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." It was on the basis of what they did. And I want to just point out that in your text there it did say, "Inasmuch as you have done it, and inasmuch as you haven't done it." But here's the harmony. The harmony is that is like what harmonizing James and Romans. See, they do it. They, as you pointed out, Brother Tim. The sheep were living by faith. But that faith animated them to do those works.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually on the basis of their faith, but the way it's represented in the parable of this story of the sheep and the goats is that the sheep actually did that but actually they were both doing the same thing. Now they were the goats said, "When didn't we do this?" And the sheep said, "When did we do this?" So, and this highlights, you know, the nature of, you know, living by faith and the works that proceed from this, that it, when people live by faith, works are like a second nature. It just flows out of it.
Amen.
They don't even remember that they did it. The sheep didn't even remember that they did it, but the goats were like record keepers. They were keeping records all along, and because they were living according to law. They were living on the law principle. And they were rejected. So, but that's in my. Mm-hmm. That's the way I look at this, because I have to find. I like to see harmony between, like, you know, something that one portion of the scripture says with the other. So,
amen. So Jesus, just a second. So the vine, everyone that's in the vine bears much fruit because Jesus, if it bears fruit, he purges it, so it brings forth more fruit. If you're not in the vine, he's cast forth.
Amen.
And he said, "Apart from me or without me, you can do nothing."
Amen.
And so ultimately, you can look at the fruit and say, this one was in the vine because there's good fruit.
Amen.
And the other, you can say, this is bad fruit. Mm-hmm. A righteous analysis of the fruit.
Amen.
Brother Bethan.
Yeah, I think you're touching a very important part about that, about the spiritual nature, because if you look at all of them, We say that we're clothed with Christ's righteousness. So I was naked and you clothed me not. I was sick and in prison, and you know, he who commits sin is a slave of sin, and they're prisoners. This was the ministry of Christ, was to proclaim liberty to captives, freedom for prisoners. And so in that aspect, it has everything to do with spiritually neglecting, and so the goats can't do this.
Right.
Because you know, the blind can't leave the blind, or they both fall in a ditch. And something about what you said, it kind of made me think about like the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man, and even that part when it says, woe unto you that laugh now, you know, because they've already received their reward. Their reward was in this world, was acceptance with this world. But, you know, we have been cast off. Just a vindication of Christ's return. The justice of it all, because we have lost in this world. But, you know, going forth, we can bear precious seed. You know, we come back with sheaves, you know, come back. And in the time of the harvest, we're gathered. And ultimately, that's the vindication for also what we've lost.
Amen. Heaven.
We were talking about the sheep and the goats, and Jesus is called the Lamb of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it just occurred to me that Jesus makes us pictures of himself. He makes us like himself. He was pictured as the sheep originally, and he makes us into his sheep.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Brother Aaron.
Yeah, I'd like to give a perspective on that too, about the nature and the works, and particularly with Paul and James. You know, Paul and James had no skiff with each other at all. They weren't talking about different differences of doctrine. Here's the way that I, like Brother Al mentioned, the way I think of it is that the book of Romans is written about the foundation or the reason of justification. James is talking about the result of justification.
Amen.
So the reason of salvation, the reason of justification, it had nothing to do with our works. It's everything about Christ offering himself to God. That's the reason for justification. But now, when we talk about the result of justification, there's evidence.
Amen.
There's proof of it, of justification.
Amen.
And that's works. And the Brother Bathan is exactly right that the works of the kingdom can't be done by the goats. So their works in being justified by works is that it proves who they are. Their works prove who they are. That's what fruit does.
Amen.
The apple proves that that's an apple tree.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Sister Barb.
Yeah, I like the picture that you painted there at the beginning of everything stopping whenever the Lord appears in all of his glory.
Amen.
Whenever, you know, when we think about it from our perspective, it's him who we have waited for. We love him. He deserves all honor. And so when he appears, everything on our part is going to stop because we are going to glorify him. But the picture that you gave is everything, even the wicked, everything's going to stop. So he is going to get the honor and the glory due his name then at the time of his appearing.
Amen.
Yes, amen. And whatever it takes, brethren, we have to be ready.
Amen.
Do you know what fear and trembling is? Fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Amen.
You know, it might be a conundrum, but God demands holiness. The Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. God demands repentance. Yea, except ye repent, ye will all likewise perish. But the ability comes from the Holy Spirit. It gives us power.
Yeah.
As many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God.
Amen.
Amen.
And so, you know, what is demanded is also supplied. And therefore, it cannot be accomplished by their carnal nature because they don't have that power or the ability to even reach it. The holiness, I mean, love is holiness. And we don't love without Christ. That's a fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brethren.